This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
We welcome you to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond just reading the words of Scripture to living them. In this time of year, we especially look at the words of Scripture around Christmas, around the birth of the Christ child. And we wonder, how do we live in this context? We're going to have some fun today and really warm our hearts with local stories. From here, we're broadcasting with WHKP in Henderson County. That's in the mountains of western North Carolina. We have with us author Terry Ruskin. He's a local historian, much loved for the books he's written, and he has a lot of information, but today a lot of inspiring stories that wrap around this season. And we will wrap around his stories some beautiful music from the Hendersonville Presbyterian Church with a choral program they recently conducted. Terry, thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
And I'll let you go ahead and start us off.
All right. This is from a piece by Louise Howe Bailey, local beloved storyteller. And it's simply called Christmas. There'd been no question in my mind as to who would be in my dining room on Christmas Day. I did wish my sister could have been there and had come far enough ahead of time to bake one of her storied fruitcakes she used to make back when enough candied fruit had to be cut up for a cake so big it was baked in a dishpan. The oven temperature had to be maintained by adding lumps of coal at the proper intervals, so she put a cot in the kitchen and took her alarm clock to bed with her, setting it to wake her before the oven temperature fell. The fruitcakes were always a special treat, and we feasted on them as the Christmas memories that mean so much to us now took shape.
Rejoice, 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 O son of the glory of heaven is shining today.
Rejoice, 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 O son of the glory of heaven is shining today.
You're listening to Beyond Words Radio, and that was a piece from Hendersonville Presbyterian Church's Christmas Choral Musical. And we have with us author Terry Ruskin sharing precious stories of the local area, pieces of our history around Christmas.
This is a piece from my book, Hidden History of Henderson County. Snaking up the pinnacle via the old CCC road, the contemporary traveler would never envisage what lay beyond. About a mile on the left, in a cove of Dismal Creek, for nature has all but reclaimed the narrow roadbed leading to Thomas Manders and Fanny Stepp's property. The story of Francis Fanny Stepp unravels a bittersweet one. A proud and industrious woman, she worked vigorously all of her life, farming, raising four children, and making do with only the bare essentials. In her earlier years, she had performed domestic chores for the Memmingers and other prominent families of Flat Rock. Thomas Modern Manders, the father of Fanny's children, abandoned his family and married Caroline Prideaux Morris after 1860. Old-timers posited that Thomas and Fanny had never married, for something seemed odd about the relationship, and what's more, his children took their mother's surname. This is on the Flack Hotel from Glimpses of Henderson County. One seldom meets another vehicle on curvaceous St. Paul's Road, where all lingers still and calm. But back in the day, one would have sensed the beating of hooves, the jingle of tack, and the rumble of buckboards and buggies negotiating the bumpy, unpaved course. An occasional flivver might have raised a blur of dust and frightened a horse or two as seasonal guests headed to or from one of the summer getaways tucked into the coves of Edneyville. Along the journey, weary travels glimpsed young and old alike, tending the fields and orchards. Smoky aromas of curing hams and bacon wafted on the salubrious air that had lured these tourists from their sultry lowland homes. On-site orchards and gardens, a herd of cattle, free-range poultry, and a smokehouse ensured homegrown, homespun meals of fried chicken, ham, corn on the cob, fruit pies, and buttermilk, all served family style on long tables, overlaid with white linen. The Flacks built their smokehouse on the foundations of a spring house in which they stored dressed chickens and dairy products, and Mrs. Flack always churned her own butter.
Thank you.
You're listening to Beyond Words Radio. We have with us as guest our local author, Terry Ruskin. Terry's authored numerous books, some about California. We had him on previously as he featured the monasteries and the great historic stories found there in Southern California. He's written From Europe, books on wining and dining, and he's written three books with a fourth now coming out about Henderson County. And he's bringing us stories about Henderson County, Terry Ruskin.
This is from my recent book, Glimpses of Henderson County, and it's on Reverend Samuel Edney from an obituary penned by his son, James Madison Edney. He was neither blessed nor cursed with a classical education. I need to redo that.
Okay, redo.
He was neither blessed nor cursed with a classical education, but his mind was naturally good. And by close application, much prayer, and extensive reading, he was at all times enabled to bring forth things new and old out of the words of eternal truth. To what extent his humble labors reached in the conversion of souls, the judge of quick and dead only knoweth. But many now living can testify of his instrumentality in their salvation. In the last sermon he ever preached, which was from these words, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The law of kindness, forgiveness, peace, humility, and love was engraven in every ligament of his nature. Samuel Edney lived and died a plain, whole-souled, cross-bearing Methodist, but he extended the right hand of fellowship to all evangelical denominations and often officiated in their altars and invited them to his."
And we will be right back after this break, continuing this Christmas special.
You are listening to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. To discover more about Beyond Words and the other ministries of Scripture Awakening, visit us on the web at scriptureawakening.com. While there, you can learn about our amazingly successful Bible reading program, B90, or Bible in 90 Days. You can review the extensive catalog of our versatile Bible study series titled Be Next. You can also download free podcasts from all Beyond Words programs. Check out B90, Be Next, and Beyond at scriptureawakening.com. Here once again is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
We welcome you to Beyond Words Radio, and in this special season in which we think about the birth of the Christ child, we're highlighting and accentuating the warmth of God's love with local stories. And Terry Ruskin, who's a local author and historian, is with us. And Terry, why don't you read some more? These are taken from Terry's own writings.
These are words from the Green River Township chapter of Glimpses of Henderson County. In 1933, Robert W. Boys bought the textile plant and renamed it Green River Mills, Inc., which was continued under the name by Boys's son, George Waring Boys, until 1958, when it closed. For family members of mill employees, the Boys family hosted activities including a summer day camp, 4th of July celebrations, a baseball team, and gift-giving at Christmas time for students of the Tuxedo School.
Oh.
about two holy men from Hidden History of Henderson County. Bishop Kirkman George Finley could not be stopped, even from the capricious forces of nature. The 1928 flood broke the dam at Canuga, in spite of the lake having been reduced after the 1916 flood to one quarter of its original capacity. The ice storm of St. Patrick's Day 1936 downed a number of pines like so many matchsticks. Finley had the dam restored and repurposed the fallen timber, storing it for future use. He also involved himself in the building of a boys' camp with log buildings in 1929. Although warned by his doctor that he could not push himself too hard, Bishop Finley labored untiringly to jumpstart his pet project, continuing his fundraising efforts, leading hikes, working in the stables, and proffering hands-on labor in the construction and maintenance of the Episcopal Conference property. In the midst of a project, he suffered a heart attack and died with his boots on at the age of 61. His death occurred in the midst of planning and fundraising for an enclosed chapel to be constructed at the conference center. Since 1933, religious services were held at an open-air venue, which members named Chapel of St. Francis of Assisi in 1941. Only a month before Finley's death, the Canuga Board of Managers selected a site for the long-proposed chapel. Beginning his career as a minister at age 20, the Reverend Jesse E. Osteen preached over the ensuing decades at a number of regional Baptist churches, including Cathy's Creek in Transylvania County, Peniel and Cooper's Gap in Polk County, in Henderson County, Berea, Beulah, Green River, Holly Springs, Mount Olivet, Mountain Valley, Pleasant Grove, Flat Rock Missionary Baptist Church, which he organized in 1960, and Crab Creek, where he served as pastor from 1929 to 30 and 1944 to 1947. A charismatic man, Dwight Osteen said of his uncle, and much adored by all who knew him. As far as I know, he never took a salary, but at times congregations would take up love offerings to pay for his gasoline.
Oh,
You're listening to Beyond Words Radio, and these are readings from Terry Ruskin. Terry?
From The French Broad Hustler, December 1906. Many of the show windows of the town are prettily decorated for the Christmas holidays. Pless Bookstore has a beautiful Christmas tree in the window, very attractively dressed. The new grocery firm of Ficker and Pace has a display which makes one hungry and tempts one to buy. The millinery stores are most attractive. In Mrs. Posey's window is a very handsomely dressed doll, the work of Mrs. C. E. Wilson, which is to be raffled off at 10 cents a chance. The proceeds to go to the hospital fund, in whose interest Mrs. Wilson is ever active. Hunter's Pharmacy has a display in the window, and in the store also. Mrs. Hart's window has an excellent display of dolls and fancy work. The jewelry store of W. H. Hawkins has a delightful display of articles suitable for Christmas gifts, many of them displayed in the windows. The windows of the Hendersonville Mercantile Company are very tastefully decorated. Brooks and Williams has a fine display of white goods, very appropriate suggestions for the Christmas table. Miss Nettie Legrand's Ideal Fruit and Candy Store looks like a glimpse of fairyland, with its beautiful Christmas tree and colored electric lights. The Climax Cigar Store has things on display which appeal to a man's heart. G.M. Glazner has both windows very tastefully decorated, and altogether the shop windows of the town impress one with the idea that Christmas must be reasonably close at hand.
Oh, a Christmas, let the dew
listening to Beyond Words Radio. That was the Hendersonville Presbyterian Church Choir. And this is now author Terry Ruskin with another reading.
I'm going to read you an article from the French broad Hustler from December 1910. The headline was "Turkeys to the Capitol." Washington will feast at Christmas largely on Henderson County turkeys. Mr. Henry Jordan today shipped almost 1 ton of dressed Henderson County turkeys to the nation's capital, and there fortunate people securing one of them will know for the first time in their lives what a real turkey tastes like. Mr. Jordan raised most of the turkeys himself, the balance being bought in the county for the purpose of shipping.
Thank you. And Terry, you've mentioned to me more than once how significant the impact has been on your life of local historian Louise Bailey. Would you have another Christmas reading, perhaps, by Louise?
An Old Friend at Christmas Time by Louise Bailey. Christmas is a time of remembering, and a time when I'll be thinking especially of a friend who lived alone on her mountainside after her brother and sister passed on. It had been the place of her birth soon after the war between the states was over, and she had never had any desire nor reason to live anywhere else. Each day of her life was filled with the hardships of pioneer ways, but contentment, not weariness, softened her weathered face until the end of her 94 years. On Saturdays, she walked into town carrying a large basket filled with eggs and home-churned butter, freshly dressed fryers and jams or jellies made from whatever fruit was in season. The open road would have been easier to walk, but she knew shortcuts across her mountain, reducing the miles to 7 each way instead of 10. And she didn't mind at all the hills that had to be climbed. She could have ridden in the wagon with her brother, but she said the jolting hurt her back and walking came easier to her. When Christmas time was drawing close, though, she rode, for she had more to carry than her basket could hold. She had holly branches and galax leaves and yards of bright green turkey foot that she would mail to her friends in Charleston, who counted on her to send such decorations from the mountain they always climbed as soon as they were settled in their summer colony of Flat Rock. As a child, she lived too far from the one-room schoolhouse at the foot of her mountain for a little girl to walk down the long road to it and back up when school let out each afternoon, so she never learned to read and write. But when she was ready to send her Christmas bundle of holly and turkey foot and galax to Charleston, she walked a mile down her mountain to ask her niece to back the bundle, meaning to address it, the term resulting from the custom of placing an address on what was considered the back of an envelope or package. Since my friend's mailbox stood at the far end of her road and close to a mile from her house, she allowed ample time to pass before she walked back down to see if a letter had come, letting her know her gift had arrived. If she found the letter, she went on to have her niece read it to her. Although my friend was often in town to trade butter and eggs for necessities such as coffee and sugar, she never knew the simplicity of dropping into a store to buy a gift. Nor could she have afforded it. Yet she had saved some money. She wrapped it in brown paper and tucked it in the far end of a beam that crossed the ceiling of her house. An attorney persuaded her to put the money in a bank box, which she finally did, signing her transaction with an X to represent her signature. The time came when she needed her money. She was instructed to make her X, but she refused. Insisting the money belonged to no one but her, she saw the request as an affront to her honesty that had no cause to be questioned. Finally, in order to get the business attended to, the person who had taken her to the attorney's office served as her proxy and left her integrity unscathed. I'll be thinking of my old friend, especially at Christmas time, and my memories of a true mountain woman will be happy ones.
Terry, you've mentioned Louise Bailey. You've said that she's a local and beloved historian, but tell us a little bit more. I know you had a close relationship with her.
I was told from the moment I moved here that I needed to get to know Louise Bailey. We had a lot in common, our love of history, our appreciation of heritage. I am a writer, and as we used to say, if you write, you got to write. and we found it very cathartic to write, and we happened to hit it off from the very get-go. Louise had lost a middle son in his youth. He died from diabetic shock, and she told me how much I reminded her of him, and she filled a gap in my life as well, and we became very, very close. I considered her a mother confessor. She taught me a lot, not only about the heritage of this rich area, but also she taught me a lot about life. I only wish that some of her wonderful manners had rubbed off. she was the ultimate lady, and I just have very fond memories of all my many, many visits with Louise. I'd call her on the phone usually to ask her a question about history, and she would. She lived a mile away, and she'd say, "Oh, can't you come over? I much prefer a personal visit." And she said, "And as a matter of fact, don't even call me when you want to visit with me. Just come to my door." But I think she always appreciated the warning, because when I'd arrive, I'd see that she'd applied some fresh lipstick and had a pot of tea going, and we'd sit and sip tea and eat her wonderful homemade pound cake and just visit for hours. And even then she'd say, "Oh, must you leave so soon?"
Wow.
And she left us too soon.
And this is a special year, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Louise would have been 100 years old on July 6, 2015.
And we have all been blessed, those who are local here to this station, to see her writings through the years. And they're always seasonal. She related to the season and times. And we thank you that you've wrapped her words in with your own
program. My pleasure.
Terry, we thank you for your readings about Christmas, and it really is special to hear stories from small town, from country. It's what makes America great, the vast countryside and all the people of this great land. But above all, the faith we have in a God who we celebrate in this time of year at Christmas. And soon the calendar pages flip and we come into the new year. Might you have something along those lines?
This is a poem written by Louise Bailey. Upon the snow-clad mountaintop we stand. A crescent moon has drawn her golden tresses from o'er the misty veils of Shadowland. 'Tis late, the mists of night fall on our faces, the valley down below is hid from sight, but we and nature stand in reverent awe because the new year will be born tonight. Yon little village now is all aglow, its cheerful lights ascend to meet the rays of moonlight, and its sleepy people wake to say goodbye to last year's happy days, and make a toast for old acquaintance' sake. Then, while nature waits, all calm and still, the new year steals across the purple hill.
We thank you for being with us in this Christmas special, and with our listeners. Terry, I want to thank you for all of your research, your writing, and bringing the warmth of Christmas alive to us today. Thank you.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening, and if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you'd like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.